All right, well, thank you again for staying. I'm enjoying this session. I think we started with seeing an overview of what I'm going to dive into in more detail, which is the topic of reach. Then we heard about, we're all trying to do policy change. Now, what do we know? How can we understand the evidence of that very difficult policy change, a good tool under development for that? And then, you know, some very good on-the-ground research on the implementation side of how do we really get policy enacted, and what are the barriers, and what are the procedures that we should be looking at? So the evidence for that, I'm just delighted to see that research. I'm going to take us a little more micro, because we've done some work in community investments to work on healthy eating and active living across communities that are funded by Kaiser Permanente. So I'll share with you the way that we've looked at the strength of those interventions and the tools that we're trying to put in place to look at that. Alan Cheadle is not here with us today. He's my colleague at the Center for Community Health and Evaluation. He and I worked on this together. All right, so I have no disclosures today. I'm going to talk about four things. Why this concept we're calling DOSE. I'm going to define it for you. Talk a little bit about the results where we've used this method and where we're starting to see it line up with results at the population level, which is one of the things we're all after. As Dara said, this more downstream look at behavior. So I have some results to show you there. And then what do we do with this concept and how can we increase dose of community interventions? Kaiser Permanente is across the nation, clustered on the West Coast, but also in the states and Midwest and on the Eastern Seaboard. There are over 40 communities that are receiving support and funding from Kaiser Permanente along with other funders to do this place-based community work around obesity prevention, healthy eating, and active living focused. Now, those initiatives are much like many other large initiatives that are underway, all of which have this goal of population-level health improvement. And what's common to many of these approaches is what you see here, a lot of overlapping strategies at multiple levels, at multiple sectors, focused on these three things, policy, environment, systems change. You see this very common approach that we all think maximizes the effort. So what we developed as evaluators is this concept called population dose, which is really just a way of looking at reach. You heard a lot about that when we started out today. And then we've also added another ingredient there that we're calling strength, and I'll define that for you in a minute. But we found that it really can weave through all the aspects of planning through to implementation and through to evaluation, maximizing the mix of the best strategies, looking at reach and strength, looking at it as you're implementing underway, as Dara said, improving and enhancing reach as you go, and then evaluating it and looking at it in relationship with your population level like surveys, like you did. So what we did is we defined, first of all, we use the term population because that is what we're after in these place-based initiatives, making changes among a group of people living in a place. And we use the term dose that I will say we debated quite a bit because it has obvious medical connotations. But I'll tell you, by the time we reached community members with this and our community coordinators, it's just simple to understand. They liked the term, and so it stuck, and so we're still using it. So we define it as this combination of reach and strength. And reach, very similar to what Dara said, we look at it as the percent of those who are affected or touched in some way, but of that target community, so those exposed. And then strength, now looking at the level of impact or the likelihood of it changing behavior. So the combination of both, because we found when we only looked at reach, we were missing this key ingredient of how likely is that intervention to actually affect a behavior change, because that's one of the things we're after. Those of you who are familiar with the REAIM model by Glasgow and others, this is similar. REAIM looks at reach, effectiveness, adoption, implementation, maintenance. And the relationship here is that we're just looking at the top two, reach and effectiveness. Our term strength is very similar to the REAIM model on called effectiveness. So again, we're looking at that percent out of the target population, and then strength, the effect size. You often hear that term. You see it in the literature when we have it on interventions in the community. So that's what we mean by strength. So let's first look at reach. We define this as a percent of people in a community who are exposed to a strategy. So reach equaling the number of people who are exposed, but divided by that target population. So again, that ratio, as Dar so well explained, when you've got large-sized communities versus small size, you need to see what your penetration is within that target community. Now, we found that defining reach exposure is not so simple, and how you define your target population, it may be that whole county, or it may be that whole city. But in fact, it could be a school population, or it could be the community members. So starting there at the top, complete streets, a change in fruit and vegetable consumption or access, maybe putting in a walking trail around to a farmer's market. These are a little trickier to determine reach because there's double counting, getting the numbers. Often we end up doing, just what Dara said, an estimate of these as best we can. And then what is the target population? Is it the surrounding neighborhood? Is it a few blocks? Is it a radius? Is it the whole county? So a little tricky. School populations are closed systems, which are a little easier to measure reach. You can pretty readily determine, is it just the fifth grade class that got that intervention? Is it all elementary schools, the whole entire district changed their food supply? So you can do a better job of picking your reach and then the target population, which is usually your whole school population. Now moving on to strength, also tricky and a lot of variability. The world were perfect and we had great evidence and we could use effect sizes from the literature, we'd still have quite a big range in effect of different types of interventions. So, for instance, you could see plausibly 50% more fruit and vegetable intake from a survey on average by people who take a very intensive cooking class over several weeks, for instance. Maybe you see 25% more minutes per day of physical activity among students who are in an after-school program where physical activity is added. But you may only see 1% of folks who actually now walk for exercise among people living in a neighborhood where a new trail was installed. So there's a big range of effect sizes and depending on the intervention. So we've taken it a step farther and thought about the combination of reach and strength, and we have started to look at them by multiplying them together. So what this does, in effect, is very simply just average strength across everyone in that target community when you do this kind of analysis. So let me go into that in a little bit here. Don't get too worried because, it's not a perfect science, and these are estimates. But there is value in this approach, and I'll try and describe what we think it is. So, for instance, one way you could calculate dose, let's say there's 100 kids out of 1,000 total, and they're in the school, they have an after-school program, so that would be a 10% penetration of those after-school kids that are participating in a program. Let's say 10 minutes more physical activity out of a baseline of 40 minutes we found through doing maybe a pre-post surveying or observations. So there you would have an effect size of 25%, right? 10 divided by 40. If you multiply those two together, that's your reach and strength, your dose would be 2.5%. Now, before you get too attached to that number, I'll tell you that we don't think this reflects a reality. What it does provide for you is a way to kind of rank different combinations of reach and strength, and purely that. So, but this is a way to conceptually think about the two together. And what you're doing in effect here is you're estimating impact across everyone in that target population, including the 10% who participated, who had a 25% on average effect size. But it's also across the 90% who don't, who had a probably zero effect size. So you're trying now to gauge the dispersal and the penetration of the efforts, not only who's touched by it, but the degree of strength in the intervention itself. So that's the concept. Now, if that were a perfect world, well, then maybe we could do that and look at a cluster of strategies in a site and then do that kind of analysis and then rank the strategies or combinations of the strategies. But actually, it's an imperfect world that we live in, and we realize we didn't have effect sizes from the literature, and a lot of things are being done in the communities. So what we developed is just a pure rating system from high, medium, and low to in the place where you don't have effect sizes, and do this in conjunction with communities. So your intervention is doing something in the schools. It's a conversation. To what degree do you think those people reached might change their behavior? And then a simple joint ranking system of high, medium, and low. We took it a step further and have worked with assigning effect size estimates to those rankings, high, medium, and low. If only 2% effect size, then maybe that would be your low. 5 to 10, maybe medium, over 10. And then we played a little around a little bit with some sensitivity analysis to test that. But these are purely just markers. The important thing is that joint conversation about those categorical ratings. So when you do that kind of thing, when you don't have effect size data, you've got to base that ranking on something. And we think these are key: the frequency of exposure, and then the intensity of the exposure, all focused on that behavior change outcome. The degree to which a healthy choice is the only choice, so an environment change that completely changes the food environment in a school, for instance. And then supporting strategies that promote or provide surround sound education or promotion to that effort. Now, when we started doing this work and started looking at combination of reach and strength and looking at low, medium, high for strength and degree of reach, we then looked at some of the results from our population-level surveys that we run in these communities. And here's an example of a finding from Northern California, one of the Kaiser Permanente-funded sites from the Northern California Kaiser region, West Modesto. We looked at those communities and the strategies within communities that came out high reach, high strength. And then we started looking at our population level data to see if there was some significant findings moving in the positive direction on behavior. And sure enough, we started to see some relationships there. So in this case, Modesto did a number of things: PE standards, pretty strong embedding of physical activity in the structure of after school, district-wide, some safe routes to schools, community physical activity campaigns, and some other awareness activities, walking school bus, and so forth. And when we compared that CHI community's data — this is youth self-report data now on physical activity — we found that CHI community, with this high-dose cluster of activity, we saw increase the report of physical activity compared to a control community where these interventions were not taking place. And we started to see this in that behavioral data. We do both adult and youth surveying. So there's some merit to this concept of trying to determine the degree of high dose, looking at reach and strength, we think. So given that in mind, what do you think are some ways of increasing dose? So let's just take a couple examples here. Let's say you have a school where 50% of the vending machine is filled with healthier items. And that was a change. Well, how could you increase the dose of that? Well, maybe one way is you could do a complete vending ban. Now, wouldn't that make a difference in someone's behavior if you're in a closed system like a school and you've had 50% of the products healthier and now they're 100%, or the vending machines are gone? Really does change your environment and the possibility of changing your behavior. But let's say you also extend that further into whole school reform and the school food is now improved. Now you have a system-wide environment change. Or you add to that some interventions around the corner stores where kids are walking to and from school. So these are now concepts, keeping reach and strength in mind together, that we're starting to do with sites, with our evaluators working with the sites on how to increase this dose of their efforts. Similarly, walk to school day maybe once a year, but you take it further and you do a whole walking program throughout the school year. But then you match that with some complete streets activities around that school, and then you do some changes to the policies around school physical activity. So these are the ways you can increase this effect on the behaviors using reach and strength as a concept. So it could be a promising long-term approach to how we think about this work. There are challenges. Measuring reach is really difficult, as I've mentioned. So is strength. We need some more evidence there on effect sizes. You need clear documentation of strategies. Was there really an intervention? We found the best way to do that is a conversation and not community reports. So we've now put in the field, and Tristan here does this with sites in Colorado, where it's a conversation held pretty regularly to talk about the initiatives, not only how many people are being reached, but what's going on and the likelihood of making changes in behavior. And then, of course, you know, we all know this, you need solid baseline to start out and with enough respondents to detect change. And we found that you can't really predict when communities get started based on their plans what's actually going to happen. So to the extent that you can get baselines everywhere, the better. And then, as I mentioned, obtaining reach and strength is not at all easy, but I think of value and worth doing. So here's our team. This is us at the cross-site level across these communities, including Pam Schwartz, who's the Director of Program Evaluation here in Oakland at Kaiser Permanente. Okay, so I'll stop there.
Great. Thanks very much, Suzanne. And thanks, everyone, for your presentations. So we have about 15 minutes, it looks like, for some questions. I do realize that we're probably standing between you and dinner, but I hope that we can certainly have a discussion. So I'll invite all of you up here so that we can respond to folks. And yeah, please, start us off.
I'd like to thank each one of the panelists and ask you a lot more questions, but I won't think because I'm prepared to deal with them on the I should represent a partner. I'm with the St. Louis Health System up in Stone County, and I'm a partner in a couple of things that you guys are talking about. We're part of Bill Collaborative, and we're also involved in a lot of the environmental policy change work we've been doing for years that's now being supported by and I have this question about the whole reach dose controversy, because I find that we don't have the language to explain the justification for these kind of estimates to non-evaluators, non-researchers. I'm my head on like, yeah, but I know the truth, because I'm on the ground, and so I'm wondering how you can help us as you develop the tools, but also to develop the language for folks who don't have this technical expertise, because it's not an exact count, and people challenge us on that, because they're in the community and they see.
I I should actually have Tristan answer this because he does this all the time. This is a very good question, and I would say what we do is reach is pretty concrete. Right? People usually get that. It's not hard to get, not easy to get, but you can usually, how many people did you touch? You know, that's something you can have a conversation about. On the strength side, what I usually do is just say, huh, so that's what we're doing on the ground. So what do we think is the likelihood that the people who are reaching are going to change their behavior? Let's say walk more, eat more fruits and vegetables, whatever the intervention target is. And when you start to have a conversation like that, and then take it the next step, so to what degree do you think, is that low, medium, and high, if you were to put that into category, just based on what we know we're doing on the ground and how many, remember, intensity, reach, all those ingredients that I mentioned about strength. If you start to have a conversation about that, that's as far as you need to go. So I wouldn't worry too much about getting into the details.
That's as far as you need to go.
Yeah.
That's when you're like the CEO of our hospital.
Yeah. 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 Okay, so I have an answer for you for that. We have to do the research on the ground to find the answers for you. We really do. You got to put a pre-post survey in the field. You have to assess what's going on. You have to come up with those effect sizes. So that's what you have to start doing. Would you guys agree?
Yeah.
Great.
Please. Yes, so so that's what we're, that's why I introduced reluctantly my little dose calculation there. Dose, you remember my slide, dose equals 2.5%. So when you do that with several different strategies, conceptually you can look at those dose, which is a combination of reach and strength, 2.5% for that strategy, 5% for that strategy, maybe 3% for that strategy. And then you can array them in a ranking order. And that gives you an approximation of those that are really high reach, high strength, and those that are low reach, low strength. You can conceivably add those numbers up and compare one community to another. But I think when you start doing that, the quality of the work on the ground, you start losing it. So until we get better, firmer effect sizes on these interventions, I would be reluctant to recommend that. But, you know, conceptually, it's a way that you can rank the effort.
How would you answer that?
We'll save that. Please.
Well, there's several systems that use the data from the REACH data that's going in. There's a system called PRISM, and it's based on CPBW, and it will be including CTG data as well, and it is a simulation model. So it's used, it finds the effect size and uses the REACH and calculates the dose. So it's something that they take very seriously, understand that there's not a lot of information out there on the ground. This is groundbreaking, or it's really something new that we have to get the information. And there's a recognition of that very strongly. The goal is to get there, definitely.
So I would say funders like this kind of analysis. It's a little sobering. Because the truth is, a lot of this activity going on in the communities is very low dose. So I would say, you know, it was a little sobering moment when we started doing this kind of analysis and we started looking at the plans and then realizing the plans aren't telling us what's happening on the ground. So now we're looking at what's happening on the ground and we're coming up with even more low-dose activities going on for pretty sizable investments over many years. So that's why I think it's great to start having this conversation, and I think the funders appreciate it, actually.
I'll just add that, you know, we got hammered a lot in Colorado in this work about what's the change in BMI, what are the biometric markers that are actually changing, and that's obviously something that we're not going to see for 10, 15, 20, maybe never, actually. So being able to look at, you know, the change in behaviors and the change in lifestyle was a nice sort of intermediary for a lot of the funders, and it kind of, you know, quenched their need for knowing how people were actually changing their life. We have some more questions? Great. Anyone like to add anything? All right, well, I'll let you all get off to dinner then. But thanks again to our presenters.